Welcome to Rambam on the line, a project of Sichas in English. Today's chapter from the Rambam's Mishneh Torah is the 22nd and final perek of Hilchos Edus, the Laws of Testimony. This perek contains five halachas. Perek Shnayim Ve'Esrim, the 22nd chapter, halacha Aleph. Shtei kita edim hamakhishay zu es zu. Two sets of witnesses who contradict one another. One set of witnesses says like this, and the other contradicts them. Now, in a regular case of hakhasha, we do not accept either set of witnesses. Each set cancels out the others. But over here, shabo eid echad mikatzu, beit echad mikatzu. One witness came from one group, and one witness from the other group. And they testify together on another act. Ein kan edus. There is no valid testimony here. Shani bavade ech mehem sheket. Because certainly one of them is a false witness. We just don't know which one of the two. Because in the case of Akhasha, where there were witnesses of 1-2, against witnesses 3 and 4, certainly one of these groups of witnesses is lying. Somebody here is a false witness. So when we take witness number 1, for example, with witness number 3, there cannot be valid testimony. Either 1 or 3 is lying. One of them is a false witness. Not necessarily in this case, but since he lied in the first case, he is Puzzle, he is invalid to testify, as we learned in the previous parakim. However, bo katzu bifnei atzma ve'idu edus. However, if one group of witnesses 1 and 2, come by themselves and give testimony in another case, bo katzu ve'idu edus acheres bifnei atzma, and the second group, witnesses 3 and 4, give testimony in a different case, makablin kol achas mehem bifnei atzma. We are allowed to accept these witnesses nevertheless, that since we do not know which one of them is the false set, therefore we stand them up on their chazaka. We cannot prove which one of them is false, therefore we must accept them as long as they don't come together, and we are forced to say that necessarily this is a false testimony. We accept their testimony together, we accept the testimony individually. Halacha Beis. Reuben shahitzei al Shimon shnei shtareis. Reuben, who produces two documents saying that Shimon owes him money. Echad b'manav, echad b'masayim. One of them is for 100, and one of them for 200. V'kofer Shimon b'shnei ashtareis. And Shimon denies both of these documents, saying that they're both false, that he doesn't owe anything. V'eid eshtar zek kat achas me'esem ashnayim she'ekhishu zu ezzu. And the witnesses on one document are from one of these two groups of witnesses that contradicted each other. If you remember, group 1 and 2 contradicted group 3 and 4. So on one document is witnesses 1 and 2. The Eide Hashtara Sheni Akata Shniya. And the witnesses on the other document are witnesses 3 and 4. The law is had a Shimon Meshalim Mana. Shimon must pay back a mana. He pays back the smaller amount. We are not sure which of these two sets of witnesses are false witnesses, so Shimon has to only pay back the smaller amount. Shiyad Balashtar ala Tachtena. Because the owner of the documents, the one that is holding the documents, he is at the disadvantage. Because certainly one of the documents has false witnesses. The Yishva ala Shar, however, the Shimon must make take an oath to say that he does not owe the 200, to say that this document against him is false. Now the question is, what kind of oath must he make? Does he make merely a rabbinic oath, or does he make an oath of the Torah? An oath of the Torah. Or does he make an oath which is ke'ein shel Torah, which is in the middle? So the Rambam says like this. This case is similar to a Maida Mimiktus. What would be if Reuben came with two documents, one of 100 and one of 200, and Shimon says, no, I only owe the one of 100. The law would be that he would have to pay back 100, and he would have to take a Shvua D'Araisa, an oath Mina Teira, holding a Sefer Teira, or something of similar holiness, and have to and take an oath denying the 200. So too in this case. Yearly, it appears to me, says the Rambam, Sheshvua zu sheyishova al hashar, benekitas chefet kedin meida b'miktsas. This oath he takes to deny the 200, he must take holding a chefet of kedusha, like a meida b'miktsas. I, over here, he denied both. Why should he have the law of Meidim B'Miktas? Shari Allah, Shnei Eidim K'shedim, Meidim B'Miktas Amom and Shakofer B'Kule. Because there are two kosher witnesses that are testifying to the that he owes some amount of money, although he denied the total amount. V'lote Haidas Piv G'deila Mehadas Eidim K'mosha B'Yarno. As the Rambam explained in Ukas Tayim V'Nitin, his personal testimony, his own admission, could not be worth more than the testimony of witnesses. If he himself would admit it owing 100, he would have to take an oath, minateira shvur diaraisa. So what can we say? Now that he didn't take a shvur, that he didn't admit, and there are witnesses saying he owes 100, he shouldn't have to take a shvur diaraisa. The witnesses should be even worth more than his own admission. So therefore the Rambam says he must take a Torah oath. And now another case with two sets of witnesses, hamachisha zuazu, who are contradicting each other. Halacha gimel. Heitzir Reuven shtar al Levi, the aid of kat achas mishteyen. Reuven has a document against Levi saying Levi owes him money. And signed on it are the two witnesses from one of these sets. Witnesses one or two, as we mentioned in Halacha Aleph. V'heitzir Shimon shtar sheni al Levi, the aid of akat ashniya. And Shimon also has a document against Levi, and in his document are signed witnesses 3 and 4 from the second group. The Levi kafir bishneim, and Levi denies both documents. Now, certainly, there's one of these documents is false, because these two sets of witnesses, Reuven's witnesses and Shimon's witnesses, contradicted each other in another case, and therefore are false witnesses. But over here, it's different than halacha base. Since in halacha base, Reuven is holding both documents, then Reuven himself is bringing together witnesses, one set of which are false witnesses. It is as if you took one witness from group number one and one witness from group number two and joined them together. There is definitely false testimony over here. However, as we mentioned previously in Halacha Aleph, if you brought each set of witnesses separately, then you are allowed to collect. So therefore, in this case, Reuven is allowed to take an oath and take his money from collect his money from Levi, and Shimon takes an oath and collects his money from Levi. Because certainly one of them is owed money, and since we cannot determine who it is, just as in Halacha Aleph, if each set of witnesses comes separately, then we do accept their testimony since they have a cheskas kashas, and we do not know which one of them are false witnesses. So too over here, Reuven takes his money and Shimon takes his money, and although one of them is lying, at least their witnesses were lying, nevertheless we cannot tell which one it is, and since one of them definitely has a claim, he is allowed to collect. And this oath is by rabbinic law, like the law of a shopkeeper who swears regarding something written in his ledger book. That the law is, if a person that hires workers, sends his workers to the store and says, buy something on my account and write it down, and the worker comes back to his boss and says, I wasn't given anything. But the shopkeeper says, I have written in my ledger that I did give him. So the law is that both of them can collect from the one that hired out this worker. The worker takes an oath and takes money from his boss. And the shopkeeper takes an oath and also takes money from his boss. So, and all of them are put together so that they should be ashamed of one another, since certainly somebody is lying over here. And so too in this case, in order to shame them into admission, we make both Reuven and Shimon take an oath before they can collect the money. In Halacha Beis, we spoke about when the lender Reuven had both documents from both groups of witnesses, and the borrower Shimon also was the one that was written as being the borrower for both of these documents. In Halacha Gimel, we said that the lenders were two different people. The borrowers were both Levi on both documents, but Reuven was one lender and Shimon was the other. In this halacha, halacha dalet, the lender is the same person. Reuven is always the lender. But on one document it says that Shimon is the borrower, and the other one it says Levi is the borrower. Halacha dalet. Haitzir Reuven shtar al Shimon, the aid of kat achat mehem. Reuven has a document saying Shimon owes his money with one of these sets of witnesses. Haitzir shtar sheni al Levi, the aid of akat ashniya. And he has another document saying that Levi owes him money with the second set of witnesses. Both Shimon and Levi deny owing any money. In this case, the one who was trying to take away money must clearly prove his case. In other words, Reuben, who was trying to take money from Shimon and Levi, must clearly prove that his document is good. Since Reuben is not able to validate that either one of these two documents is true, therefore each one of them is considered literally like clay, meaning worthless. And each of the two purported borrowers take a rabbinic oath saying they don't owe any money and then they are exempt from payment. Because this is much different from any of the previous cases. In Halacha Gimel, Levi certainly owed money to one of them, since there are two documents against him. So he certainly owes money. We cannot determine which one of the false witnesses, so he has to pay both, because we cannot determine. But we have definitely determined somebody owes money over here. But over here, we cannot pin on either Shimon or Levi that either one owes money. Because since one of the two is definitely false, we cannot force either one to pay, because each one can push off on the other one and say that who says mine was the true... Mine was the true document, maybe mine was the false witnesses. Therefore, the purported borrowers take the oath and are exempt. But the medvarim amurim, when does this apply? When both sets of witnesses come to testify together. But if anyone produces a document with only one of these sets of witnesses, he can collect. As we mentioned in Halacha Aleph, that if they are taken separately, then we can accept each set of witnesses separately. And if he or someone else produces a document with the other set of witnesses, or some versions have it, he can collect with the second document, whether from the original borrower or from someone else. Because each of the two sets of witnesses, each group is coming separately to testify. And separately, each group is acceptable to testify, as we mentioned in Halacha Aleph. Only when they come together are both of these two parties, Shimon and Levi, exempt. Now the final halacha of the Perek, and of all of Hilchos Eidos, Halacha Hei. Misha heve edim venechkara edusam. A person that brought witnesses to his to testify for him, and their testimony was investigated, v'huzamu, and there was hazama. Someone determined they were false witnesses. V'chazer veheve edim achedim ba'esa taina atzma. And he brings a second set of witnesses on the very same claim. V'huzamu, and they also went through hazama. And afilu meyakad, and even if he brings 100 groups, and each one of the 100 was huzam, va'achakach heide edim achedim ba'esa taina atzma, and he finally brings another set of witnesses on this very same claim, the nimtzas edus elu achreinim mekuvenes, and we find these last set of witnesses cannot be invalidated. We find that they have proper testimony. Donim al pihem, that we judge the case according to this last set of witnesses. Shafo pisho huchzak zeshaton tainazu lahave edim shakronim. That even though the person that is bringing this claim has already been almost proved, he is assumed to bring forth witnesses. That is as far as he is concerned. But we are not relying on him. We are relying on the witnesses. And harelei huchzaku elo edim achreinim shehem shakri. We have not proven an assumption that these last set of witnesses are lying. The person himself is lying, but we're not judging the case according to him. We're judging the case according to the witnesses. And therefore, since the witnesses have not been proven to be false, we can accept them. That's as far as the witnesses themselves. Avoshtar shakara lov irur, but a document which has already gone through an accusation. What is the accusation against the document? The two witnesses come and they say, that a person asked us to forge our signatures on this document. In this case, although you have validated the signatures on the document, nevertheless, we can never collect from this document, because since people have already testified that they have been approached to forge the document, we cannot trust the signatures that are there. However, v'yidli, it appears to me, says the Rambam, shim bo eidashtar, if the witnesses that are signed there come to us, v'he'idu ahim ba'atzmum, al ksav yodam, and they themselves testify as to their handwriting, which this is the one of the ways to be makayim the signatures. As the Rambam said above in the sixth chapter, that there are many ways to validate the signatures, and one of the ways in which the witnesses themselves come. And as explained in the poskim, they have to say that they remember the loan themselves. Should they do that, gavin boy, then you are allowed to collect using this document. Slikulu hilchos edus besaitu dishmaya, we have ended the laws of testimony with Hashem's help. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Rambam on the Line, a project of Sichas in English. For more information or to sponsor a para, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us tomorrow for the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim.